This is the Straight Truth Podcast, biblical answers to difficult questions from a Christian worldview.
Pastor, we had somebody write in recently and ask us to answer the question of what it means to be heavenly minded. And maybe they've got some texts in mind and they didn't really mention those, but they had mentioned that often they have heard over the years this quote, "Don't become so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good," or some sort of variation of that quote. And it's always bothered them. So they want to know, you know, is that even possible? You know, aren't we actually called to be heavenly minded in the first place? And is there even a context in which we might be too heavenly minded? Does that ever take place? What's your answer to being heavenly minded?
Yeah, you can't be too heavenly minded if you're defining that in agreement with the scriptures, in accordance with the scriptures. You know, one of the things that we try to do is hear what people are saying, not That's just right. which words they've used. Mm-hmm. I think what some people are trying to describe when they talk about being so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good is what some might refer to as an overrealized eschatology.
Right.
So you are responding to time and eternity in a way that God never intended. So I know I'm headed toward eternity. Mm-hmm. I know Jesus might come any day. And so basically what I'm doing right now doesn't matter at all because all I care about is what's coming. Mm-hmm. That would actually be an unbiblical response to those truths God has given us about the return of Christ and about eternity. So I think that's what people are talking about, that having your head in the clouds, so to speak, to a degree that you're not taking care of the things here on earth that God has also assigned to us as His people.
Is this what the Thessalonians were going through?
It seems to be,
Paul addressed that directly.
Yeah, he addresses that directly in 2 Thessalonians, that there were some among them who were no longer working. And it seems to be because they had misunderstood the day of the Lord. And so, it happens with people. But in terms of truly being heavenly minded, which is you're living now in obedience to all the truth of God's word regarding now, but in light of eternity, with eternity always in view, that's absolutely biblical. In fact, that's what we're called to do. That's a matter of Christian obedience. Think about Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes, "If then you've been raised with Christ," okay, if you're a believer, if you're alive in union with Jesus, brought from spiritual death into life, "seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." And then he says, "set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Because you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." So if you have new life, Jesus is your Lord, and your mind and heart are to be fixed on him. And he's in heaven, and he's coming again. You have a life beyond this present age, and you're to fix your mind and heart on it. In fact, he makes the point that this is necessary to an earthly battle that we have. This is how we overcome sin. This is how we mortify sin in our lives, by fixing our minds on Christ and the future that is coming. He goes on to say in the very next verse, verse 5, "put to death therefore," right, in view of what he's just written, "put to death therefore what is earthly in you." Right? What belongs to this earthly domain, this time under a curse? What belongs to fallen humanity, life under a curse? Well, he describes it. "Put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them." This was once our life. "But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you've put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." So, and he goes on from there. So I have this old life where I walked according to the course of this present age, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now at work in the sons of disobedience, the Bible says, the domain of darkness. This is how we once lived on this earth. That's what he means by what is earthly in you. But I have a new life in Jesus Christ. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. And I'm to live in accordance with that new life, which means I'm putting away sin and I'm pursuing righteousness. I do all of this with the future in view. Jesus is coming. I will share in a glorious future with my Savior. And the wrath of God is coming. And Christ's saving work on our behalf has delivered us from the wrath that is coming. In view of these consequential realities, eternal life with Christ, eternal damnation from the presence of God, how then should we live? And so that's what it means to be heavenly minded. It means I have my mind and heart fixed on the truth that God has given us regarding time and eternity, and I'm living in this moment in light of the forever age. And that's how we are called to live.
Yeah, that's really good. I was just speaking with my children recently about 1 Peter 1, and he says something very similar to Colossians 3 that you just quoted. To the effect of prepare your minds for action and being sober-minded and set your hope fully on the grace that is coming at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So I wonder how you might think
that's exactly
about what
same.
You're saying about preparing your minds for action. How would you describe that with our mindset on the coming of Christ?
It's exactly the same. Yeah, you now choose to live in light of what can only be known by faith. I mean, God has amazingly and lovingly brought us into the knowledge of what He has planned for the end of all things. And He didn't bring us into the knowledge of the end for no reason. Mm-hmm. There's a pastoral purpose for eschatology. Mm-hmm. And that is not just our peace and comfort and joy, but also our preparation for today and mm-hmm. tomorrow. How now must I live in light of what's coming? Mm-hmm. And so you gather up the loins of your mind, so to speak, and you get ready to run in light of what is before us. And so it's exactly the same message. We're meant to live today in light of forever, but that information doesn't make us neglectful in today. Rather, it informs us to be obedient with what God has given us for today, because the day is coming when Christ will examine those works and reward them. So my efforts today, my investments today are not lost, because there's a forever tomorrow coming. And everything God's called me to be faithful to today will one day be rewarded in an everlasting existence with my Savior. That actually motivates present faithfulness because it's never wasted.
Is there any sense, as we conclude here, but is there any sense of fear that we should be preparing for or maybe thinking about? Because you just touched on the fact that the Lord will expose our deeds. And certainly there is a judgment to be coming as well. So you've mainly mentioned positive things. Is there a sense of fear we should have as we await that coming day?
Well, I certainly don't want to be found unfaithful. And in that sense, there's a holy kind of fear and trepidation that should be in my heart as I think about that future day. I mean, I want to be found faithful. I don't want to disappoint my Lord. But I will say the trajectory on display in the New Testament, when you think about the future judgment of believers, is not one of some kind of exposure. It's rather one of reward. And so what the Scriptures teach is the day is coming when all that is rewardable will be rewarded and the rest will be lost, like wood, hay, and stubble. And I want to be someone whose life has not been wasted, whose opportunities have not been wasted. I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so in that sense, in the sense of kind of a fear that belongs to sonship, right? If you think about the family dynamic, I'm a firstborn son. I very much wanted to please my dad. And what I didn't want to be found was disappointing to him. With that kind of fear ought to belong to my thoughts about future judgment. It's not, the judgment of believers is not, let's put up on a screen every sin you've committed and every way that you've failed. That's not what the New Testament presents at all. It is a day set apart for reward. But that's what I want. I want to be found having lived my life in a way that pleased my Heavenly Father and honored my Savior. And in that sense, there's both fear but joy as I look forward to that day.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Straight Truth Podcast. Now, Straight Truth is listener supported. So if you'd like to find out ways how you can help us to continue to produce this podcast, you can go to our website and find out ways to do that, straighttruth.net. At that website, you'll also find links to all of our previous episodes and our social media channels, so be sure to check it out. Straight Truth is a production of Walking in Grace Ministries, the preaching and teaching ministry of Pastor Richard Caldwell. For more information, go to walkingingrace.org.